the lame to walk again and cause the blind to see.
In the West, there are still a few good men left. Men of God, like the circuit-riding preachers of old. Proclaiming truth like the holy prophets of old. Strong and bold. You're about to hear politically incorrect, but biblically correct truth from circuit-riding preacher Peter Peters, whose home base is a radio ranch nestled in the Laramie River Valley near Laramie, Wyoming. The Radio Ranch is a working cattle and horse ranch where circuit riding preacher Peter Peters broadcasts nightly worldwide on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, reaching the world through satellite, radio, television, shortwave, and the World Wide Web. Riding for the brand, he preaches for the man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. His circuit not only includes a radio ranch outreach in Wyoming, but also the LaPorte Church of Christ, located at the base of the colorful Colorado Rocky Mountains in LaPorte, Colorado, where he has preached for over 30 years. The messages preached there by Dr. Peters on Sunday morning are streamed live on the internet and are archived at the ministry website, scripturesforamerica.org. Dr. Peters' politically incorrect but biblically correct sermons are available on CD and DVD. Many in America, Canada, and all over the world are on the free CD and DVD ministry. Our address will be given at the end of this broadcast. And now, here is Dr. and Pastor Peter John Peters with the Word of God.
Do want to give you a report. I guess maybe it's a brag. But we were graffitied again this week. Our church building was painted with nasty symbols and words. It's not the first time it's happened at the LaPorte Church of Christ. You say, well, why would you be bragging about that? Well, ask yourself, how many other churches get graffitied? How many other churches get attacked? And I know there's a lot of people out there on the internet and other places, they're just tuning in and saying, well, I want to know what those people believe. They're really weird. You know, today, if you want to really be strange to the world, just believe the Word of God. Believe what Jesus said when he said there are serpents that slither, that come to steal and kill and destroy. If you really want to be separate from the world and have them talk slanderously about you, that's all you got to do. Oh, those people, you know, they believe that guy named Jesus. That there are people coming to steal, kill, and destroy. Our first scripture is, for the title of the sermon, it's John 10:10, and the sermon's entitled Stealers, Killers, and Destroyers. And Jesus said it this way. We read, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. Now, they've been trying to destroy this church and this ministry for many years. I got good news for you, though. We just painted over it again. Old Isaac just had to go dig another well. Amen? And so we painted over it again. And I prayed for those poor little graffitiers. Is that a right word? But they wouldn't want to hear my prayer. It was no sweetie peetie prayer. We are involved in warfare. But the Christians don't seem to understand it. That's why they're called Christian soldiers, or they're supposed to be Christian soldiers. And if you're going to a church that's never been persecuted, you're going to the wrong church. Jesus said, woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so they spoke of the false prophets that preceded you. The scripture is clear. If you want to live godly, you will suffer persecution. I got good news for you. I understand the Colorado. Is that cheap yellow rag still going on business around here? It's about to go out of business, isn't it? They've tried for years to put this church out of business. They have put slanderous things and articles in that newspaper. But guess what? We're still here, and I understand they're going under financially. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We're involved in a war, and they come to steal, kill, and destroy, but we never understand that the way Satan's system works. Now, this Sunday school class I was going to bring this morning was going to also have another scripture. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. What does that mean? That means there must be some other kingdom besides the kingdom of God. There is another kingdom. It's called Satan's kingdom, and Satan's system works this way. The stealers, the killers, and destroyers look like helpers. It's a unique ability to be able to do it in such a way that you don't even realize they're really doing it to you. Oh, we care about your health. It's called health care. I want to talk more on that because last Sunday we left off with the message in Band of Evildoers pointing out how do you spell Amalek. Now somebody called in and said, quit saying Amalekite, it's Amalekite. I don't know if it's Amalekite or Amalekite, but I know they're a bunch of lousy parasites that are out to destroy and draw the blood from us, the life force, and destroy us. Amen? So forgive me if this cowboy doesn't got quite the correct pronunciation, but I tell you, they're a bunch of dirty, damnable dogs. Now, we've already pointed out how they're from the pulpits. I pointed out that dirty dog would not pray with Jason and I in precatory prayer against those filthy, slithering snakes that were trying to kill that little girl. Where is that little girl at? Hold her. Is she asleep? Let the crowd hear. Don't show her on there. But there she is. I saw her when she was 1 pound, what, 8 ounces? 1 pound, 8 ounces, and those dirty, filthy Amalekite dogs want to do a heart operation on her. Why? I'll tell you why. It's 150,000 to 200,000 reasons why. That's what one of those operations are. I want to tell you how they generate their business. We'll do that. I didn't get everything covered in last week's message, so I want to go on. How do you spell Amalek? You start out spelling it this way. A-M-A. And it's about time that somebody attacks those dirty, filthy Amalekite dogs, MDs, murderous dogs that we have for doctors today. And we wonder why no one wants to come to this church. Why we have been so programmed to believe that the doctor... Have you ever seen a doctor program? Now, this is some of the repeat of last week's message, but have you ever seen a doctor program where, be it Dr. Kildare or ER or whatever all those programs they've programmed you with over all these decades, have you ever seen one where the doctor is a killer and he loves to kill patients and see them suffer in the process? I haven't watched hardly any doctor shows. I hate doctor shows, but some of you have. Have any of you ever seen one like that? No, I haven't. Now, I wrote this book called Terrible, Terrible Stories. And this book has to do with the parable of the tares and the wheat in Matthew chapter, where is it? 13. There it is on the screen. And you notice how it's spelled. Terrible is one way, and the terrible the other way is T-A-R-E-A-B-L-E, stories to solve the mystery of lawlessness. If you want to understand your society today, understand that Jesus meant what he had to say, that there are children of the devil. And Jesus said they come to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Now, well, Pastor Peters, why aren't these other pulpits talking this way? Has it occurred to you that maybe they're on the same team? Now, in this book, I want to read this. I got a chapter called The Terrible Terror Story of the Killer Nurse. It's a male nurse. 40 people this murderous bastard executed with a hypodermic needle over his course of time. I want to read this to you. It says, snakes strike and inject their poison. Death by poison seems to be a favorite method of murder. This snake injected poison by needle. He loved needles. As a teenager in the Navy, he seemed like a nice guy and so helpful to the Navy doctor. Now listen to this. This is the quote from the article. Still, Ensweiler says Cullen was basically a nice guy who enjoyed relaxing at weekend oyster roasts. Charlie would give you the shirt off his back, he says. He was particularly helpful to the ship's doctor, according to Ensweiler, who remembers Cullen volunteering to give vaccinations when sailors lined up for shore leave, end of quote. Now, we're going to talk some on vaccinations. All the talk that you're hearing right now in America about health care is a smokescreen to divert you from what they really got planned, which is called the swine flu shot. Keep everybody's attention off of it. Now, this is not the first time this preacher has tried to warn people about the swine flu. We have a booklet called Warning Vaccinations Are Dangerous. We quote from the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion in it. There it is. I wrote this back in 1993, and it's available if you want to write to us for it. The material is still good. It's got quote after quote of different authorities about the dangers of vaccinations. This man loved, this nurse killing 40 people loved to vaccinate people. It says here in the article that I take this from, Christina Toth had a bad feeling about the gaunt-looking male nurse who wheeled her 78-year-old father out of Eastman's emergency room. I thought he was real cold, she said. He didn't show any emotion. In his hand was a hypodermic needle. What's that for? She asked. In case his heart stops, replied the nurse. Shram's heart did indeed stop 3 days later, the last day of 1998. An autopsy revealed a digoxin overdose, end of quote. Now, if you have male killer nurses, do you think you could have male killer doctors or female killer doctors? That little girl that you saw just held up there, they did everything in the world to try to kill her. I'm going to give you more of the story. I didn't give too much of the story last week, did I? There are new people coming on. I want to tell you the story. First of all, the way Satan's system works is they generate their own business. The mother went into premature labor, got her to the hospital, and all they had to do was give her, I forget the name of the solution, forgive me, but you put it intravenously and it stops premature labor. Do you think that I or Jason could get them to give it to her? No. Oh, we've got to do this test, we got to do that test, we got this procedure. Remember all that, Jason? I mean, time was of the essence. Yeah, they wanted to do a pregnancy test, firstly. Can you believe that? Yeah, help me out as we go along here, because I forget. So anyway, Jason lost it. Of course, me being Mr. Cool, I never lose it. But in this case, I did stay cool, didn't I, Jason? He played good cop or bad cop, I played good cop. It didn't do any good, because you have to play by their rules, and I'm dealing with a woman doctor and a woman nurse. He is. I'm just there with him. And so, to make a long story short, they drug this thing out long enough until this baby came out 1 pound, 8 ounces, premature. Oh, my, did they start to have fun now. Oh, the whole team comes in now. You want to talk about somebody moving around now, boy. Boy, they can really move now. Why? Because they got a $1 million baby. That's why. It's about time somebody starts getting mad about this thing. We're dealing with a biblical issue here. We'll be looking at it. They generated themselves a million-dollar baby. And then, as I told you about it, they flight for life, or in the case it was an ambulance, get her down to that children's hospital, and the first thing they want to do is a heart operation. Why? Because the heart has got a murmur. Well, the heart's not developed yet at 1 pound, 8 ounces. That's the only baby that we know of that didn't get, what do they call that, a ligation? Ligating the ductus. They got great names for it. All right. But they had to have somebody stationed that baby constantly, 24 hours a day. And there was all kinds of problems till finally I go down, put on my three-piece suit. I went down as Dr. Peter, since I have a doctorate. And I took my staff with me, took Richard. Richard cleans up real good. Put a suit on him. And we all went down there and sat down. The grandfather was the girl went with me. He's a doctor. We met with these doctors. How many were in that room? 18 people in that room. 18 people. And then while we're in the room, here comes this clown in that had all these beads on. Remember that guy? And had two little sidekicks. He was the psychiatrist to evaluate us. I mean, the money they're making off this child. And all we're saying is, look, we are people of faith. We don't want certain things. We want elders to pray over this child and so forth and so on. And we made it clear, so we want to know if you're going to make push come to shove, and we're going to have to go to court, because what they'll do is they'll go to the judge, and then the judge signs an order, and then they can do whatever they want, you see. How much time will we have to get an attorney to counter to go into court? Oh, we'll give you plenty of time. How much time they say? 48 hours? Was it 48 hours? Do you mind me telling you the story? You've got visitors here. You like the story? People like the stories better than the sermons, so you come on a good day. This is story day. And so we thought we had that was on a Thursday. And come, was it Thursday? Wasn't it Monday that old bitch come riding in on her broom? She'd been out of town, and she was the head doctor. And she comes in there, and she made it clear that this little baby, by that time it was more than 1 pound, 8 ounces, but I don't know how many it was. Huh? 2 pounds. It gotten up to 2 pounds. And they decided they were going to do a series of spinal taps on this baby. Now, I know what a spinal tap is because I had polio and I was in that children's hospital. I was in a wheelchair for a while, but I remember the spinal tap real well, and I wasn't just 2 pounds. Painful as all get out. It wasn't going to be one, it was going to be a series, but they had to sign a paper to give permission because it could result in paralysis, blindness, a good chance of death. Is that correct? We wouldn't sign. And she comes in at 4:30. I say, I didn't have anything to say about it. They wouldn't sign, the parents. 4:30, this is the other thing the Amalekite will do. They'll go after your women or your children. They would, and they went, Mama, isn't this true? They came after you. They wanted to talk to you, scare you to death about the child. And she'd say, you have to talk to my husband. They hated that, didn't they? They hated that every time. You have to talk to my husband. Because you see, that's what they do, is they cut you off from the husband. And so the next thing we knew, there was going to be, was it 9:30 in the morning? That hearing, 9:30 the next morning down in Denver, there was going to be before the judge to get an order to do the spinal taps. Jason calls me. I didn't know what to do, but I'd had it. Because they had just lied to me just on that Thursday. told me that we would have plenty of time. Believe it or not, by God's grace, we had an attorney there at 9:30. That's no small feat in itself to get somebody there to represent you. But we went on the air that night, and I told my people that are listening, I said, you've never heard me have a financial crisis. You've never heard me beg you for money. You've never heard me tell you this, that, but I got a crisis, and we need you to start calling. And people called from as far as Australia, and they closed down the phone banks at the Children's Hospital. And on top of that, one of our men got the home number of the female doctor, and they were calling her home. And when we showed up in that court that morning, there were two big, burly sheriff deputies. Well, four of them, weren't there? Four of them. And they come, the one come walking up to me. And I was fighting sickness myself at that time, fairly sick. And it wouldn't take them too much to knock me down. But these guys were big. I bet they could press 400 pounds. And the one was a big old black guy. And he pulls out his handcuffs, and they come walking up to me, you know. And I'm there. The whole purpose was to intimidate me and scare me. But the truth of the matter is the system is scared to death when somebody stands up to them. Because we stayed on the air that night, and we called for people to call in, and we made it known that we weren't going to stand for it, we weren't going to allow for it, and they were trying to scare us. And that judge and those social workers and that doctor, they were all so scared because, you know what? The gig was up, and people had figured out what they were doing. And the judge refused to give them the order. He said, if you want to do it, you do it without the order. Well, all of a sudden, when they didn't have the judge's signature, now what the judge did, the judge took the baby away from the parents. Said, okay, from the baby can no longer be yours. We're giving it to the social workers, right? Now, when we went out of the courtroom, I mean, it was a little bit of a devastating blow at first. Then I realized, whoa, we've got the victory here. And I took Jason outside. I said, now, Jason, don't worry about this. I said, first of all, those doctors, the judge says the doctors are going to have to decide this afternoon. If they want to do it, then they can do it. I said, don't worry about it. The doctors aren't going to do it. Didn't I say that? And I said, the other thing, you haven't lost a thing. The baby's not yours anyway. It's in an incubator in the hospital. You can't have it. And so they just took it away on paper, right? But they were trying to intimidate because you were standing up for your own child. These dirty Amalekite dogs come after your women and your children. Do you believe it? And you spell Amalek, A-M-A. These guys have been getting by with it for a long time. That dirty Amalekite dog that I had beside me had my family turned against me. Anybody else? Good boy. He hightailed out of here with his tail between his legs when all of a sudden they started coming around, and he would not pray in precatory prayer. We prayed in precatory prayer against those people, and the day there's that little baby. There was one little baby in there. The mother stayed with her, and she left the room. Is that true? And then they came in and got her and did the heart operation anyway. Does anybody remember back when the baby boomers came on the scene that everybody had to have tonsillectomies? You remember that? What happened to the tonsillectomies? We don't have that anymore, do we? No, because they found out other ways to make money off of you. Baby boomer after baby boomer, we're having our tonsils out. And I've got studies in my office to prove it. I've preached on it in years gone by. When you have the tonsils are directly connected to the gonads. It makes men less masculine and it makes women less motherly. But it was vestigial organs. Everybody had their tonsils taken out. Think of the millions that these Amalekites have made off these little children just having the tonsils out. Now, if I don't make it in preaching, I want to go into advertising. I wrote this. Cold sores are nasty. They hurt and are unsightly. And they come when least expected and at the most inconvenient time. Time of a special romantic dinner date or an important business meeting. Besides hurting, being unsightly, did you know that cold sores can be potentially dangerous? They can be contagious and lead to serious complications known as virulentious hepatitis sinusitis syndrome, VHSS. This VHSS taken now, no one needs to fear VHSS with the new VHSS tablets from Amlic Labs. This tablet, taken once a month, prevents cold sores in 80% of all patients and eliminates potential life-threatening VHSS. It's better living through modern medicine. VHSS tablets, ask your doctor if they're for you. Can cause liver cirrhosis, kidney stagnation, heart palpitation, gastritis, colitis, bladder infection, blindness, loss of hearing, slow death, sometimes suicidal tendencies, and frequently cold sores. Do not use if pregnant. It sounds funny. It goes on every day. And no one says anything. And then they accuse me of being some kind of crazy man for telling you that they're putting you in a spell. They're generating business. They're not, that's what they're doing. It's like, I'll give you a story. Years ago, there was a news article on Paul Harvey, and this town had vandals breaking glasses, windows all the time, breaking glass windows. They finally found the man. You know who it was? The guy that owned the glass store. You think it's any different in the medical profession? They generate their business. Now, I'm talking about the MDs. I talked to a man just yesterday, or maybe it was the day before. He's a horse trainer. Horse trader, I guess you'd call him too. But he had his knees operated on. He's in misery and pain. They've crippled him. I've seen this happen many times, where now he's got to go to this rheumatoid arthritis guy, and he's got to go over here for this and that. They generate their business. No one is talking about what we've got here. What we've got here are Amalekites in that profession. You spell it A-M-A. I told you about the man. Remember last week I told you about the man in Phoenix that called me and said they're trying to kill me? Well, he never got out of there. I prayed for him in that intensive care, but he had all those surgeries. The amount of money they made off of his insurance before he got out of there was staggering. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and I could see them. They were Amalekites all over the place. I got a lot of illustrations to give you, but let's go over to a scripture. And the scripture I want is an let's go to Isaiah 56:10 first of all, and just write this list down. Then we're going to go to Deuteronomy 32:21. Then we're going to go to Deuteronomy 28:43-49. And then we're going to go to Numbers 24:2. And as we're going there, I want to tell you that I just recently went on a little journey by airplane, commercial, and that's the most degrading thing in the world you can go through. But I had to go make this trip. And so, I mean, I'm stripping down, got down, took my boots off, took my belt off, took everything out, made it through the deal, didn't I? And lo and behold, I had to be the guy they picked out to put in a special chamber. You know, and then they I don't know what all they do. I'm standing there, and it's all I could do to keep my mouth shut. But the one that really bothered me the worst was, as we were coming back, here was this woman, about my age, I suppose, about four times bigger than me, made a perching horse look small, on a walker, like this. I mean, just like this. You remember that, John? Were you there? Get up there, and I'm sorry, they had to take the walker and fold it up and run it through this electrical thing, I mean this x-ray thing, Can you make it through the wall? I think I can make it. Do you want us to get a cane? Oh, I think I'll make it. And so she hobbles her way through. Can you imagine? There was a day in America when white Christian men would have been insulted to see women treated this way. It's all I could do to keep quiet. But I thought to myself, she doesn't even realize that she is being victimized. First of all, she doesn't even realize that she's been made fat. Her thyroid has been cut down to nothing. They started doing that with the fluoride they started putting in our water in the 60s. They have fed her MSG that has bloated her out. You know, God only knows on how many medications she's on right now. Isn't that true? And she doesn't even realize they're warring on her. And I looked at her, and I knew she probably was about my age, but she looked older. And I thought to myself, there was a time she was a pretty girl. But they've done this to her. And she would see me as crazy if I tried to tell her that her doctor might be her enemy. Amen? Let's read the scriptures. First one. His watchmen are blind. All of them know nothing. All of them are dumb dogs, unable to bark, dreamers, lying down who love to slumber. And the dogs are greedy. They are not satisfied. They are shepherds who have no understanding. They have all turned to their own way, each one to his unjust gain, to the last one. Come, they say. Well, let's see. Now let's go back to the verse ahead of that one. That would be verse 9. Can you do that? All you beasts of the field, all you beasts of the forest, come to eat. His watchmen are blind. Why are the beasts, according to this Isaiah passage, able to come and eat and feast? Because the watchmen, and who are the watchmen that are blind? The shepherds. They aren't saying anything. They're silent. And because the pulpits are silent about what I'm talking about right now, the beasts are able to feed. What does this mean in prophecy? All right, let's go to another scripture. Beasts, what are you talking about, beasts? Oh, those people are so strange over there. Deuteronomy 32:21. It says, they have made me jealous with what is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols. So I will make them jealous with those who are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Notice there, it talks about those who are not a people. Notice there, it says, I will provoke them to anger with a foolish what? Nation. So evidently, according to that prophecy, now that prophecy is Deuteronomy 32, which has to do with the end time predicament of Israel. According to that prophecy, there is a nation of non-people. I am of the position now that that nation of non-people are the beasts that are able to feed on God's people because the watchmen are silent. Are you people with me? Okay, and I want to back that up further. If we go over to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 48, it says this. The alien who is among you, let's see, I don't think, let's go ahead and go with that one. The alien who, let's try 47, first of all. We'll try that one. My apologies. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things, therefore you will serve your enemies, whom the Lord shall send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, in the lack of all things. And he will put a yoke of on your neck until he has destroyed you. Let's read on. The Lord will bring a nation. That's what I wanted. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as the eagle swoops down. A nation whose language you did not understand. Now, I'm going to say something to you. You didn't understand what Verocious Hepatologous Synosis Syndrome was. So for you poor ignorant people, I just said VHSS. But, you know, there's all kinds of language going on today we don't understand. Go into court sometime and try to, you know, listen to their language. It's a language of thieves. They understand each other. And it's no different in that medical profession, and it's no different in the dog profession behind the pulpits where they talk about God. You know, last week we talked about the Cretans. Some people ask me, who are the Cretans? I don't know. It's a little isle off of Greece there, and chances are they were just a band of Israelites, a clan, probably a bunch of white trash. But where was I going with that? In that same passage, Paul talks about empty talkers. They can get up, some of these preachers get up and just talk, 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 talk. You don't know what they said. You feel good when it's all done. But you have no idea what they said. They have a language all of their own. Going back to that scripture. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as the eagle swoops down, a nation whose language you shall not understand. A nation of fierce countenance who shall have no respect for the old, nor show favor to the young. Isn't that interesting? Is it tying together? Now, what nation might that be? With that said, let's go to Numbers chapter 24, verse 2. And we read, "And Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel camping tribe by tribe, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And he took up a discourse and said, the oracle of Balaam, the son of Beor, and the oracle of the man whose eye is opened, the oracle of him who hears the word of God, who sees the vision of the Almighty falling down yet having his eyes uncovered. How fair are your tents, O Jacob, your dwelling, O Israel." All right, I don't know what scripture I want here. Let's go on. Go to Numbers 24:2. "And Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel camping tribe by tribe, and the Spirit of God came upon him." Let me find the scripture I want then. Just bear with me. I wish I could blame this one on Richard, but I don't know I could do it and not look bad. Numbers 22. Bear with me here, and we'll find it. We'll go it the old-fashioned way.
Verse 20?
No, let's see. It might be. Let's try Numbers 24, 20. That's what we want. Okay, Numbers 24:20. "And he looked at Amalek and took up his discourse and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his end shall be destruction." That's what I wanted. What I'm trying to say, and I think I got enough time to say it, is I believe that that nation that God said, I'll send against you, is the Amalek nation. They have no care for the young or the old. They have a language you don't understand. But you got to understand this. Someone has got to do it. Got to do what, Pastor Peters? Someone has got to do it. God said, this is what is going to be done to you. Now we go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And the verse I want there is starting with verse 22. It says in Numbers 20, it says, "The Lord will smite you with consumption and with fever and with inflammation and fiery heat." You suppose if we have consumption, fever, inflammation, and fiery heat, we might need some health care? There was a time our country didn't have to worry about a government providing them health care. You know, if you really care about your health, don't turn to the government. Turn back to God, America. Amen? God says you're not going to have health if you don't care about my law and you don't care about me. Seems reasonable, doesn't it? We go back to that scripture. The Lord will smite you with consumption and with fever and with inflammation and with fiery heat and with the sword and with blight and with mildew, and they will pursue you until you perish. I want you to notice it says, with the sword. Well, I looked up that word sword, and it means a cutting instrument, a knife, a sword, or an other sharp implement. You suppose it could mean a scalpel? Do you realize how many people today actually, you talk about a spell, they actually brag about their surgeries? Anybody ever run across people that brag about their surgeries? Yeah, there's something going on in their head. Now, I had a talk quite some time back, let's put it that way, with a young man. And how much time I got? You want to hear another doctor story? Well, the young man is married to a Canaanite for sure. And I just told her. I told him, she's castrating you. But he wouldn't listen. I mean, doesn't take it seriously or something. I don't know. I can be rather straightforward and blunt about things. And I'm trying to get it across to him. This is important. And the next thing, you know, is that he finds a little bump. He finds a little bump. Within 7 days, he's having it removed. Now he's only got one left. And I said, you know, there's a connection between the spiritual and the physical. You see what I'm saying? But I thought to myself, man, why not give it some time? Why not, you know, they don't even know if there was anything to it. The knife, the sword, the Lord said it's going to happen. Somebody's got to do it. I want to ask you something. Remember the story I told you, many sermons back about the Civil War nurse? I read it to you, an old book I had. And she was a nurse for the North, but she also helped the Southern soldiers as well. She said in battle there was a lot of men, she said, that she saw that they didn't need amputations. But the doctors would get $60 for an amputation. And a lot of times she would wheel them out and try to get them somewhere else. But they go ahead and cut off a leg because they only got so much for bandaging. It was a factory line situation. Now, so I ask you, would you cut a man's leg off for $60? Of course, $60 back then, like maybe $6,000 now, I don't know. Would you cut a man's leg off for $6,000? Would you? Anybody here? I wouldn't cut a man's leg off for $600,000. I wouldn't cut a man's leg off for $6 million. I couldn't do it. Could you? Not just for the money, I could cut some of these dirty dogs' heads off for about 2 cents. But the point is, they had no problem doing it. Somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to do what? Go over to Hosea chapter 13, chapter 13, verse 4. We'll start there. And then I'll tell you while we're getting there, I had a friend of mine that had his leg amputated. And it was below the knee. At least if you're going to have a leg amputated, it's better to have it below the knee because you got the use of your knee, obviously. And a couple of days later or a day or something, the stump isn't looking good. And it looks like it's not getting the circulation down there. And you know what they're saying? They're talking about? They're going to have to cut more, do another surgery. And I realized at that time, I got to get my friend out of here. And I said to him, I know a doctor, naturopath, that's got a hyperbaric chamber. And we get you in that hyperbaric chamber and get that oxygen going to you. You know, we'll get that oxygen flowing. But the thing was how to get out of that hospital. Well, we just had prayer. But when that doctor came in, we said, you know, we want to go ahead and, rather than have another surgery, we want to try a hypobaric chamber, this and that. And you know what he said? Well, the Presbyterian Hospital's got a hyperbaric chamber. We could send you over there. And I thought to myself, well, you dirty dog. Why were you talking about cutting again? If you could send over and try to use a hyperbaric chamber over there. I'll tell you why. More money every surgery. Amen. You got to start thinking that this is a business to them. They generate their business and they make money off of every operation. This is the Babylonian system we live in. But somebody's got to do it. Do what? Let's read the scripture. Yet I have been the Lord your God since the land of Egypt, and you were not known, were not to know any God except me, for there is no Savior besides me. I cared for you in the wilderness, in the land of the drought. And they had their pasture, they became satisfied, and being satisfied, their heart became proud, therefore they forgot me. So I will be like a lion to them, like a leopard, I will lay in wait by the wayside. I will encounter them like a bear robbed of her cubs, and I will tear open their chest. There I will also devour them like a lioness, and a wild beast would tear them. I want you to notice there that he said, I will tear open your chest. Did you notice that? Now, we get the idea that, well, that's just all in the Old Testament, doesn't apply today. What do you think they do today every time they have a heart operation? They run a saw right up your breastbone. They pull them babies. They tear open your chest. I'll tell you a story. I went to high school in Curtis, Nebraska. Little place down there on Medicine Creek, pretty little place. They had a doctor down there. And it seemed like all of a sudden everybody down there, what I heard, was having knee. This is going back into the 70s. They were needing heart surgery. Sending them up here to Denver for heart surgery. And I know because my wife's uncle had to come up here and have heart surgery. And that guy had heart surgery twice in his life. And they were talking, you know, there must be something in the water down there in Curtis or this or that, because so many people down there happen to have these heart operations. It never dawned on them that little quack down there in Curtis got a cut for every patient he sent up to Denver to get cut on. So, oh man, I think you need heart surgery. And so that was, you know, like, what, I don't know what it was then, $5,000-$10,000 in his pocket just for sending somebody up there. But they're thinking, wow, how come so many people are down here having to have heart surgery? But you try to tell people about their MDs, and they will turn on you like a rat dog. Is that not true? Because they have been programmed and spellcasted. Get the next scripture. It says here in chapter 13, verse 16. Hosea 13:16. Samaria will be held guilty, for she has rebelled against her God. They will fall by the sword. There's the same word again. Their little ones will be dashed in pieces, and their pregnant women will be ripped open. Somebody's got to do it. And they are cold-blooded reptilian serpent. Beasts that feed upon us, it doesn't bother them. Now, I don't know how you can do it, but they do it all. What are you talking about, Pastor? You ever heard of Caesareans? It goes on all the time. Is there a time for a Caesarean? I suppose there is. But I know this, I've talked to enough midwives, and they'll tell you that particularly if you got a woman that's on welfare, and she ends up going into labor, her chances of having a cesarean is something like, huge percentage more. You know why? Because the county will automatically pay for it. So just a little bit of labor, I think we're going to have to take this from cesarean. And what do? They rip the baby out of the belly. What's going on? God keeping his word, the beast feeding upon the sheep, because the dumb dog shepherds aren't barking or saying anything. The spell is being cast. How dare you speak against these gods called doctors? I've got so many more doctor stories I could tell you. I started this thing out when I was about 20-some, very early 20s. My wife had developed a kidney problem, nephritis. And I had some, I worked for the federal government at the time. No, it wasn't the FBI or the CIA. It was the Department of Culture. And so I had the best insurance you could get, really good insurance. That's one of the dangerous things to have today. You know that, in my opinion. Because this old boy, when they see that insurance guy, they see dollar signs. His name is Dr. Shore. I don't know if he's still around. I hope he hears it. At that time, though, I thought doctors were good guys. And don't get me wrong, there are some good ones out there. But you see, if they practice anything besides orthodox medicine, they might have their license jerked. So that's a whole nother story. But there are good ones out there, don't get me wrong. But this one, they were running these tests, and albumin and this and this and that, and getting worse. And I remember the time we were in his office, he was looking, he says, well, it's getting bad. He says, you know, we might have to start thinking about a kidney transplant. And at that time, I walked out of the office. I didn't know anything. I turned to her, and I said, you get off every bit of medicine you're on right now. Don't you take a thing. That was the first thing. Next thing, I went and bought a book called Let's Get Well by Adele Davis. She had two chapters on kidneys. And I went out and spent $80, and I didn't have the $80, and that was a lot of money back then, and I bought all these supplements. I got on a program, and about 6 months later, I brought her back in there, and he was looking. He says, you know, sometimes this happens. The disease will go dormant. It's gone dormant with you. And so then I told him, I said, you know, this is what we did. I thought he'd be interested. And I told him what we did, and you know what he said to me? Something like this. I've told this story before, but he looked up at me, he says, expect science to go forward with the purchase of $80 worth of vitamins. And then it started clicking in my head. At that time, it was $30,000 for a kidney transplant. He couldn't make much money off of $80 worth of vitamins. This system we're living in, I am a shepherd to the remnant. And I'm saying to you, remnant, we're going to have to start reaching into faith again. Now, there might be a time for a doctor, particularly when there are traumas and broken bones and so on and stitches, but you better be aware, be wise as serpents and harmless, because it's a dangerous thing. The Amalekites are not only in the pulpits, they're in that profession. And the beasts are feeding upon the sheep, and there's hardly a shepherd out there saying a word. Jesus said, the thief comes to kill and to destroy. But with Satan's system, it can be done in such a way that you think they're helping you. We're going to close out with a song. This old wheel, you don't have that. And this one is sung by Stephen Spaulding. Let's stand as we sing it, shall we? Out of time. What goes around comes around. I didn't get a chance to tell you about the vaccinations, but we'll get that another time. Start listening to the radio broadcast. We got an interview coming up this week. Let's sing it.
That old wheel is going around the floor when it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they slowly will reap, turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
And we'll even the score.
When love and the one you thought would stay does you wrong. And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give him. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
So they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. times. Hard to control, and you'll find.
And you'll find.
You'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel.
Thank you, Lord, for what goes around comes around. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray for the working of your Holy Spirit to bring your people to come back around to their God and to their senses again and be pulled out of this spell. Save us, Father, from the treacherous Amalekites' ends. Deliver us from their hands. Now, Heavenly Father, for those that are yours, I ask that you would bless them and keep them. Make your face shine upon them, be gracious to them, lift your countenance upon them, and grant them peace. In Jesus' name, amen. We're adjourned.
The preceding message by circuit riding preacher Peter Peters from the LaPorte Church of Christ, located at the base of the beautiful Colorado Rocky Mountains in LaPorte, Colorado, has been aired on the Scripture for America Broadcasting Network and is available on CD or DVD and is archived at the website scripturesforamerica.org. Remember, circuit rider, preacher, and teacher Peter Peters broadcasts live nightly from his Wyoming radio ranch, nestled in the Laramie, Wyoming River Valley. It's a working horse and cattle ranch where circuit riding preacher Dr. Peters reaches the lost sheep of the house of Israel worldwide on satellite, internet, and shortwave radio. Dial settings 5755 and 9480. Check out the 24-hour week web broadcasting website, sfawbn.com. Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network is made possible by the prayers and tithes of the faithful. If you want to write to circuit riding preacher Peter Peters, the address is Circa, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. Or you can visit us on the web at www.scripturesforamerica.org. The preacher will be riding back this way next week.
We'll too.